If you look in your bulletin, you'll find an outline of today's message entitled Dedicated to God. And we're going to be reading of Solomon's account when he dedicated the temple to God. In 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 22, I know she just told you to sit down, but if you come to Anthony Grove, you know we stand up and honor the reading of God's word. Thank you. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in front of the whole assembly of Israel, spread out his hand toward heaven and said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on the earth below. You who keep your covenant of love with your servants, who continually, wholeheartedly love you in your way. And then in verse 54, when Solomon had finished all these prayers and supplications to the Lord, he rose from before the altar of the Lord, where he had been kneeling with his hands spread out towards heaven. He stood and blessed the whole assembly of Israel in a loud voice, saying, Praise be to the Lord who has given his rest to his people Israel, just as he promised. Not one word has failed of all the good promises he gave through his servant Moses. May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. May he never leave us nor forsake us. May he turn our hearts towards him to walk in all of his ways and to keep his commands, decrees, regulations, that he gave our fathers. And may these words of mine, which I have prayed before the Lord, be near to the Lord our God day and night, that he may uphold the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel according to each day's need, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God and there is no other. But your hearts must be fully committed to the Lord our God, to live by his decrees and obey his commands as at this time. And then in the next chapter, verse 3, the Lord said to him, I have heard the prayer and the plea you have made before me. I have consecrated this temple which you have built by putting my name there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. And then in John's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 17, his disciples remembered that it was written, Zeal for your house will consume me. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we come now to dedicate this sanctuary to your glory, we come first of all, God, to dedicate ourselves. Speak to us now, God, through your word, for we make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Every year at Mother's Day and Father's Day, we give parents an opportunity to dedicate their baby or their child to God. We'll be doing that in a couple of weeks come Father's Day. But I try to tell the parents, yes, you're dedicating your child, but you're really dedicating yourself. You see, that little baby can't make a decision on their own. But hopefully the parent is making a decision that will positively influence that child's future. I hope you understand that we have come today to dedicate this facility to the glory of God, but this building has no will. This building can't do anything. It's going to be up to us to dedicate ourselves to God to bring glory to him in this place. With that in mind, let us dedicate ourselves and this building to our purpose. Each of us has a purpose in life. Notice in verse 23 it said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth below. And in verse 60, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God and there is no other. And then in 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. You see, we have a purpose in life. Our purpose in life is to glorify God. Today we should dedicate this building to glorify God. We should dedicate ourselves anew to glorify God. And all we say, in all that we do, whether we eat or drink or say or do, may it all be to the glory of God. In 1642, the British Parliament asked, what is the chief aim of man? And the Westminster Confession says, the chief aim of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. I don't know about you, but I've enjoyed being in the presence of God today. And hopefully all that we do today glorifies Him. And so let's dedicate ourselves in this building to our purpose. Our purpose is to glorify God. And then secondly, let us dedicate ourselves to God's plan. God has a plan for all of us. In verse 58, may He turn our hearts to Him to walk in all of His ways and to keep the commands, the decrees, the regulations He gave our fathers. Notice there, Solomon, as he prayed over the temple, he says, may God turn our hearts towards Him and walk in His way. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for my life. Now, God may plan for one of you to be a police officer, one of you is to be a nurse. God may have a plan for one of you to be a school teacher. God's plan may be for you to be a garbage collector. But God has a plan for all of us that doesn't have anything to do with how we make a living. And let us devote ourselves to that plan. And what is that? One, we will devote ourselves to worship. In verse 11, it says, the priest could not continue their service because of the cloud. That's just the Shekinah cloud of glory. For the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple of the Lord. The power and the presence of God came down when they dedicated that temple in such a way that the Levites and the priests couldn't even do their job. Now, choir, you have done a marvelous job today of praising God. But can you imagine the power and the presence of God coming down so great? You couldn't even sing. You couldn't even do what you have done today. Folks, that's what worship is all about. Lifting up God and the glory of God coming down among His people. Psalms 29:2 says, ascribe to the Lord the glory, do His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. You see, worship is really all about us coming into the presence of God. God engulfing us in His love and His mercy and His grace. And us in turn loving God back. That is what worship is all about. Listen, every fiber of your being ought to be filled with the love of God. I don't know about you, but I want to be so full of the love of God. If a mosquito bites me, it's going to fly off singing, there's power in the blood. Okay? Yeah. You see, God's plan is that we worship Him, that we love Him, and let Him love us. In Psalm 27 in verse 4, it says, one thing I ask of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I ask Him for lots of stuff. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. Folks, that's what worship is all about. It's not good music. It's not good singing. It's not good preaching. It's not good fellowship. Worship is all about coming into the presence of God and giving Him honor and glory and praise, for He is worthy of our praise. I was privileged in 2014 to go to the Holy Land, and I'm telling you, it just changed my life. And I'm excited this fall. We're taking 55 people from this church to the Holy Land. And I can't wait to see what they're going to be like when they get back, okay? It's going to be awesome. But you know what I noticed when I came over there? And I saw the holiness of God. I remember Leonard going to the Garden of Gethsemane. And at the Garden of Gethsemane, there are 8 olive trees that are over 2,000 years old. And you go to that place and you realize these trees are holy. And then we went up to the Mount of Beatitudes, where Jesus stood and He said, "Blessed are they." And He gave the Sermon on the Mount. And you realize those rocks are holy. And then we went to the Temple Mount. You know, the temple's tore down, but there's still the Temple Mount and the steps. And we were there on those steps and realized Jesus stood on those steps and spoke the Word of God. You see, those steps were holy. Oh, and then we went down where the Praetorian Guard had been. And we were down in a pit where they beat and they scourged and they whipped my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you realize even a pit is holy. Now, what made that mountain holy? What made that dirt holy? What made that rock holy? What made that tree holy? What made that pit holy? Is that Jesus touched it. That's what made it holy. And if you're here today and you come into the presence of God and He touches you, that makes you holy. And we dedicate ourselves today and this building to be a holy place that honors God. And then secondly, we devote ourselves to evangelism. In verse 60, Solomon prayed so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is no other. Folks, we want to dedicate this place, and we want to dedicate ourselves today to tell every human being in the world the good news that the Son of God has died in their place on an old Roman cross. But 3 days later, He came out of that tomb and He is alive, and He did that for them, and He's coming back. That is our mission. Now, I don't mean to be political, so if you hear that in a political way, you're not paying attention. My heart was sad this Friday to learn that there had been another massive school shooting in Santa Fe, Texas. It ought to break everybody's heart in here that children died just going to school. Now, folks, I can remember a time when guys would have a shotgun or a rifle hanging in the back of their pickup truck out in the parking lot. There are some people that are saying, and if you're one of those people, that's okay, that what we need is we need stricter laws. We need to ban AK-47s. We need to ban AR-15s. It wouldn't have helped in Santa Fe because he used a shotgun and a revolver. They said, well, we need to ban high-capacity semi-automatic pistols. It wouldn't have done any good in Santa Fe, Texas, because those weren't used. We need to raise the age to 21. The boy was 17. He didn't qualify even for the laws that we have. And here's what I'm trying to say to you, folks. We don't have a gun problem in America. We have a heart problem. There's something wrong with the heart of people. And the answer to the heart problem in America is the heart doctor, whose name is Jesus Christ. And it's our job to take the love of Jesus to a lost and dark, dying world. And if He will change your heart, we won't have this problem. In Luke 14:23, then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Folks, you and I, God's given us an assignment. Our assignment is to go out in the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that his house will be full. And I'm looking around here, and I see a full house down here on the floor. I see a full house up on the choir. But choir, if you're looking, there's some seats available up on that balcony. You know what that means? Our work's not finished. God said, fill the house. Amen. Brother Mike, God says, fill the house. We're to go out and compel. We need to dedicate ourselves today and this place to be a lighthouse in a dark world. Amen. Acts 1:8 says it this way, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You and I need to dedicate ourselves to telling people about Jesus. I'm reminded of an old scrub woman. Her name was Sophie. And Sophie would tell anybody and everybody about Jesus that would listen. And one day, she didn't have very good eyesight. One day, she was seen witnessing to a wooden Indian. You know, a wooden carving of an Indian. And so the next day, somebody was making fun of her and said, Sophie, I saw you out there witnessing to a wooden Indian. She said, well, that might have been so. My eyesight's not that good, but I'd rather be caught witnessing to a wooden Indian than to be a wooden Christian that never witnesses to anyone. Let's dedicate this place and dedicate ourselves to taking the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. You know what I'm so excited about today? While we're doing this, we have a mission team right now in Europe doing medical missions to the Roma Gypsy people. And Kathy Hefner from our church is leading that team. Next week, we have a team coming from Anthony Grove going to South Africa to be a witness to the Hindu Indian population there in South Africa. In June, we got a team going to the Ukraine. In August, we got a team going to Puerto Rico. Oh, I asked Carolyn a while ago. I said, Carolyn, 75 years ago, could you imagine the lighthouse this place would be today? Let's commit ourselves, let's dedicate ourselves to evangelism. And then, number three, we devote ourselves to Christian fellowship. In verse 22, then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in front of the whole assembly of Israel. You see, it's a whole assembly. Folks, the Christian life's not a solo act. God intends you to do the work of God alongside other people. That is, God wants us to be involved in Christian fellowship. We have a large foyer out there. Somebody said, why all this wasted space? I said, that's not wasted space. That's a place to hang out and fellowship before church starts and after church is over. Because you see, one of God's plan is that you and I have fellowship with Him, but we have fellowship with each other. In Acts 2:42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. They devoted themselves to Christian fellowship. Let me tell you what breaks my heart today as a pastor. This church right here has nearly 1,600 members on roll. If they were all here today, part of them would have to be outside. Some of those are missing out on Christian fellowship. Let's you and I dedicate this place and ourselves to Christian fellowship. Man had been deaf for 26 years. He went to a surgeon. He examined him and realized the three tiniest bones in your body, in your inner ear, were not connected. So what happened was is he did surgery and connected those little bones. And then all of a sudden this guy could hear. And when he heard music for the first time, he thought, I have been missing this all of my life, this beautiful music. Folks, I want you to know, when the Holy Spirit connects you to another believer and you have Christian fellowship, God makes beautiful music in your heart and in your soul. Let's dedicate this self, ourselves in this building, to Christian fellowship. Number four. We devote ourselves to Christian education. or discipleship. In verse 58, may the Lord help us obey and follow all the laws and the teachings He gave our ancestors. Did you know this is even part of the Great Commission? Matthew 28, therefore go make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Did you know the very first book ever printed was the Bible? Did you know the most printed book in all of human history is still the Bible? But did you know there is a great deal of illiteracy in America today? Did you know that the average American cannot name two of the four Gospels? The average American can only name four of the Ten Commandments. I mean, how are we going to keep the Ten Commandments if you don't know six out of ten of them? Well, folks, I'm going to tell you, Wall Street's not going to teach it. The school system is not going to teach it. It's going to be up to us and this place. So let's dedicate ourselves to Christian education. And then number five, let's devote ourselves to Christian ministry. In verse 55, he stood in a loud voice and blessed the entire congregation of Israel. I don't know about you, but I hope that that's the desire of every person in here, and that is to bless others in Jesus' name. He stood up and he blessed all of them. You see, I want to be a blessing to all of you. And my prayer is that you want to be a blessing to all the people that God brings in your life. You see, Christian ministry is just serving God and serving others in the name of Jesus. You give a cup of cold water in Jesus' name, and it is ministry. Galatians 5:13 says, serve one another in love. A guy by the name of John Galbraith served in the administration of Lyndon Baines Johnson. He'd had a particularly hard week, and he came home and he said to his housekeeper, wouldn't you love to have a housekeeper? Came home to his housekeeper and said, I'm going to take a nap. Hold all my calls. She said, all right. An hour later, the president called. Emily Wilson was her name, and she answered the phone. And he said, hello, this is President Johnson. I'd like to speak with John. Said, I'm sorry, Mr. President, but you cannot speak with him. He's taking a nap. And the president of the United States says, well, go wake him up. She said, I'll not do it. I work for John. I don't work for you, Mr. President. You'll have to call back later. And she hung up. President Johnson called back later, and he said to John, he said, that woman that answered the phone, tell her I want her to come to Washington and work for me. Folks, I've got a better invitation than that. The King of Glory is asking all of you to come to work for Him. It's called Christian ministry. Let's dedicate ourselves and this place to do Christian ministry. And then, number six, F on your outline, we devote ourselves to prayer. In verse 54, when Solomon had finished all these prayers and supplications to the Lord, he rose from before the altar of the Lord where he had been kneeling with his hands spread out towards heaven. Did you notice? It says prayers, plural. Solomon had put up a bunch of praying. I want us to dedicate ourselves in this place to be a place of prayer where we put up lots of prayers for lots of things. Notice here in Isaiah 56:7, by the way, Jesus quotes this verse. These I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. When Jesus cleansed the temple, he quoted this, that my house is a house of prayer. Today we want to dedicate this house as a house of prayer. We want to dedicate ourselves as people of prayer. Pastor was doing a children's message. He had all the kids come up there on the steps, and he had a phone. And he said, you know what, when you make a phone call, you call somebody, you can't see them on the other end, but you can still talk to them. And said, that's the same way with prayer. You may not see God on the other end, but you can talk to him. And one of the little boys raised his hand and said, preacher, what's God's number? Well, I have good news for you. I have God's number. It's P-R-A-Y. Pray. You and I can call on God 24/7 simply by getting on our knees and say, God, I need to talk to you. Let's make this place a place of prayer. Do you understand that Calvary was won in the Garden of Gethsemane? And the battles of life will be won in prayer. All right, so we see that God has a purpose, God has a plan, and the last thing I want us to do is dedicate ourselves and this place with passion. In verse 23, with your servants who continue wholeheartedly in your way. Verse 61, but your hearts must be fully committed to the Lord our God. And then in John 2:17, after his resurrection, Jesus' disciples remembered that it is written, zeal for your house will consume me. Let's dedicate this place and let's dedicate ourselves wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly, not mostly, but let us give God our very best. Zeal means to boil or to bubble over. God help us that some child out there is more excited about T-ball than we are about Jesus. God help me if Michael Jordan is more excited about basketball than I am about Jesus. Let's devote ourselves not just to show up, not just to serve, but to do it with zeal, to do it with passion, to do it with excitement, to do it with enthusiasm. In the ninth grade, I was a captain of our track team. My main event was the 400 meters. Back then, we were still calling it yards. It was the 440. If you've ever been to a track, it's all the way around. And back then, I could run it in about 54.6 seconds. Now it takes about that many minutes. This was my main event. I ran four events, but this was my best event. They fired a gun. You take off running as fast as you can. Just run as fast as you can till you get to the end. We were in a track meet with Lincolnton High School. And I took off and I was ahead of everybody. Ran the first curve, I was ahead of everybody. Down to the stretch, I was ahead of everybody. Coming in to the last turn, the guy behind me had caught up with me. Yeah, he's about 6'2". So he's taking these big, long strides. And I'm taking steps like this right here. And he passed me. And as we come around the curve, I saw my coach, Coach Hicks. And he's down on the end, and he's running. And he said, run, Dennis, run! Run, Dennis, run! And I closed my eyes, and I took off. I'd heard about a second wind, but I'd never got one. But I got one that day, turned on the burners, passed this big old lanky, tall guy, come across the finish line, and won the race. But my coach was at the end, and when I come across that finish line, he grabbed me up, and he hugged me, and he danced around, and he said, good job, son. Folks, you and I, we're in a race, and Jesus is running beside of us, and he's saying, run, Joel, run, Ben, run, Donna, run. And one of these days, you're going to cross the finish line, and Jesus is going to be standing there waiting, and he's going to wrap his arms around you, and he's going to say, good job. Good job, my son. Good job, my daughter. And in that moment, it'll be worth all of it. It'll be worth all of it. But to get there, we got to dedicate ourselves. Dedicate this place to the glory of God, to the plan of God, and to do what we do with passion. I'm going to ask you to bow your head. Nobody's looking around. In a moment, we're going to have an invitation. This altar is going to be open. An invitation is simple. Would you step out of your seat, come to this altar, and say, God, I want to dedicate myself anew and afresh to run the race with passion, to magnify and glorify Jesus in all I say and do. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we have a time of commitment, I pray that the Holy Spirit would move up and down these pews, tug on the hearts and the lives of your people. And God, help us at this time to dedicate ourselves to you, to your plan, to your glory. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. If you would please stand as we sing, we invite you to come.